I'm very thankful to be with you this morning. It is a great honor and a privilege to stand before you once again to speak the words of life. And I'm very thankful. You know, I don't think that we truly understand what we have to be able to meet in safety, to meet in relative comfort, to meet in warmth. You know, we don't have the armies that are against us yet. We don't have a government that oppresses us to worship together yet. But you know that we should be ever thankful. And much placed upon my heart, I ask an interest in your prayers. And I feel a sense of reverence this morning, and definitely need your prayers. There are many that need our prayers and our congregation. There are needs. There are people upon the prayer list. There are those that are traveling in foreign lands that have encountered many things. They've been brought there safely. They've been brought home safely. There's been relatively few incidents of what could be because of the perils that are out there. The work of the gospel, you know, is a beautiful, beautiful thing. And it, with the Spirit of the Lord, it overrides fear, brings peace, brings comfort and assurance. But needs our prayers. The power of our prayers are such that, you know, if we look in the book of Revelation, and it says that there was odors that were poured out before the throne, and they were precious because they were the prayers of the saints. They are that powerful. They are that precious. They are that necessary. And so I was thinking of this very image in the beginning of our country. As we know, this is steeped in prophecy thousands of years ago about even this land and the purpose that the Lord has put within it. In order for the promoting of a spot of ground to a people, to a purpose and a plan, and even to a latter day fulfillment. And this is not really where I'm going with this morning, but regardless, that this very image is recorded in history. It is not fictitious. There was someone that did witness the leader of our country, first presidency, if you will, and that very image, and that very action of prayer, and how true it is that it is impossible to rightly govern a nation without God and the Bible. And we see where that is being forgotten and trying to be shoved to the side, we know, as political correctness is progressing. But we got to be careful. We need to lift up the high and holy name of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, His Word, and to stand as a light unto the world. I thought about a proclamation to prayer. A proclamation to prayer. We think of prayer being universal, and it is. There's a lot of attributes, I think, to that very subject and its necessity. And even, once again, the festivities that have even been set aside that is coming up even this coming week. How many view it? How do they view it? And what do they set aside even sacrifice to lift up the purpose behind it in thanksgiving? And to whom? The avenue of prayer is a sacred form of communication to the only Almighty Sovereign God and Father of all. And I use that word very concisely, to thee only. There's another multiplicity, you know, this Allah, Buddha, any of these other gods. To thee only, God and Father, the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. And we've become too so respectful and politically correct and tolerant, I believe, to where all our forms of worship are so available that many people are being led astray, thinking that there are many paths unto a salvation. And so I wanted to lift up the very fact He is the only and almighty sovereign Father and God of all. He knows all and He sees all. I believe we were reading some of that in our Sunday school this morning. He knows all and He sees all. He's from all eternity to all eternity. He invented our use for time. Our God has no use of time, only where His purposes, His plan, and His people are involved. He's the beginning of all intellect. He has called all things into existence through the word of command beside His beloved Son. And I was thinking about it. I had it wordedly a little differently this morning. And I got to thinking, you know, and in the beginning it says, let's make God in our image. He's there in the very beginning, the Father and the Son. And they said, and the Spirit of God moved upon the waters, and so on. Yet, He cares, He loves, He listens, and responds to the prayers of His children, knowing what is best for them. There's a saying that says that it's a good thing that we don't get everything that we ask for. Because there's things that we know that God has told us, and He says with being within His will, being within what is, He knows what is right for us, that He isn't going to give us everything that we ask for. There are things that we ask for that would be very destructive to our souls. So He knows what is good for us. He knows what is good within His will for us to direct and to lead and teach our lives and sustain. He is the author and the purpose of this country, our freedom and prosperity and blessings. And we think about it, you know, there are many oppressive countries upon this in this world. And we have a true form of freedom. Do as what we will. And to the point where even those that have committed crimes against this nation or its people and so on and so forth, there's still a freedom that is beyond what other countries would even do. If we even talk about some of the luxuries that are in prisons, they're not prison, they seem to be country clubs anymore. And such things goes on. And many have paid the price for this very freedom, for your very, very opportunity to pray. There are those, and there's countries in this world that if you were to be caught in prayer, there are those that if you were to have a Bible in your home, you could be punished or put in prison. We have that kind of freedom. You have the freedom of worship, freedom of prayer. And yet, once again, they're trying to squash these things out in certain avenues, you know, even in schools. I know that, I believe that was Sister Joyce when she was with us here, and she said, you know, that they can't take prayer out of school if you can't control the minds of the children. And that's true with each of us too. You can't take prayer out of our society unless you control the hearts and minds of the people. I looked up a couple of things, and I wanted to get a little bit of a long reading, but this is something that's stuck in my mind. And I said this historic proclamation was issued by George Washington during his first year as president. It sets aside Thursday, November 26th, as a day of public thanksgiving and prayer. signed by Washington on October the 3rd, 1789, and entitled General Thanksgiving, the decree appointed the day to be observed by acknowledging with grateful hearts the many and signal favors of Almighty God. While there were Thanksgiving observances in America both before and after Washington's proclamation, this represents the first to be so designated by the new national government. After their first harvest, the colonists of the Plymouth Plantation held a celebration of food and feasting in the fall of 1621. Indian chiefs Massasoit, Squanto, and Somerset joined the celebration with 90 of their men in the three-day event. The first recorded Thanksgiving observance was held on June 29, 1671 at Charlestown, Massachusetts by proclamation of the town's governing council. During the 1700s, it was commonly practiced for individual colonies to observe days of Thanksgiving throughout each year. A Thanksgiving day or two, 100 years ago, was a day set aside for, now let's remember this, prayer and fasting. Is that thought about today? On our day of Thanksgiving, do people think about a day of fasting and prayer? It seems to be a day of gorging and watching the games on TV. You know, to many people. Not a day marked by plentiful food and drink, as is today's custom. Later in the 18th century, each of the states periodically would designate a day of Thanksgiving in honor of a military victory, an adoption of a state constitution, or an exceptionally bountiful crop. Such a Thanksgiving Day celebration was held in December of 1777 by the colonies nationwide, commemorating the surrender of British General Burgoyne at Saratoga. Later on October 3, 1863, President Abraham Lincoln issued a proclamation calling for the observance of the fourth Tuesday of November as a national holiday. In 1939, President Franklin D. Roosevelt moved the holiday to the third Thursday of November to extend the Christmas shopping season and boost the economy. After a storm of protest, Roosevelt changed the holiday again in 1941 to the fourth Thursday in November, where it stands today. And so we have had a day of Thanksgiving. I don't know, I just thought that in my mind, and the one fact stood out to me that I wanted to bring out that was originally designed as a day of prayer and fasting. And we know that has changed. And so, you know, we think about, even to this very day, we've been in some very pretty bad battles, you know, since the beginning of this country. In the very beginning, they say that the formulation of the battles that took place, they should not have won those wars. There are some very divine things that happened, and that would make a great study unto itself, really, the godly heritage, what we have. As a matter of fact, there is a book that I do have. One of these days, that may just be, that we wouldn't have been formed into a nation had things occurred that by common sense and reason should have occurred. And so, you know, even to the life of George Washington himself and other battles that he shouldn't have made it through. But by divine providence, revealment, prophecy, God's power and purpose, you know. And so, you know, we lift him up in thanksgiving and prayer, our God. Not because of men that we should revere. There are those that God has used throughout history and time for his purposes and his planning. We thank God. You know, each of us are called to a purpose and a plan to proclaim Jesus Christ. And we need to be thankful, humbled. We look at the definition between the prophets of the Lord and ordinary people. We have those that are called and sanctified to a purpose, but they're humbled. There are those that can be used, prayerful people, to be used in the hands of the Almighty to proclaim his purposes, to deliver his words. words of prophecy, words of warning, words of blessing. But they were used because they were humbled and prayerful. I know it's kind of small and so on. And this was a prayer. This was published in the Massachusetts Sentinel, signed by George Washington. Where it is the duty of all nations to acknowledge the providence of Almighty God, to obey His will, to be grateful for His benefits, and humbly to implore His protection and favor. And whereas both houses of Congress have by the Joint Committee requested me to recommend to the people of the United States a day of public thanksgiving and prayer to be observed by now acknowledging with grateful hearts the many and signal favors of Almighty God, especially by affording them an opportunity peaceably to establish a form of government for their safety and happiness, I do recommend that signed Thursday, the 26th day of November next, to be devoted by the people of these states to service of that great and glorious being who is the beneficent author of all the good that was, that is, or that will be. And that we may then all unite in rendering unto Him our sincere and humble thanks for His kind care and protection of the people of this interpositions of His providence in the course and conclusion of the late war. For the great degree of tranquility, union, and plenty which we have since enjoyed, for the peaceable and rational manner by which we have been enabled to establish constitutions of government, and for our safety and happiness, and particularly the national one now lately instituted for the civil and religious liberty for which we are blessed, and the means we have of acquiring and diffusing useful knowledge, and in general for all the great and various favors which He has been pleased to confer upon us. That also we may then unite in most humbly offering our prayers and supplications the great Lord and ruler of nations, and beseech Him to pardon our national and our other transgressions, to enable us all, whether in public or private stations, to perform our several relative duties properly, and to punctually to render to our national government a blessing to all the people, by constantly being a government of wise, just, and constitutional laws, discreetly, faithfully executed and obeyed, to protect and to guide all sovereigns, nations, and especially such as have been shown kindness unto us, and to bless them with good governments, peace, and concord, to promote the knowledge and practice of true religion and virtue, and the increase of science among them and us, and generally to grant unto all mankind such a decree of temporal prosperity as He alone knows to be best, given under my hand at the city of New York, the third day of October, in the year of our Lord, 1781. Signed, George Washington. And I thought that it was neat that this pledge from the very beginning of our country, being very important, this is instituted in, and they lifted up the high and holy name of the Almighty, in the name of Jesus Christ. The leader of our country talking about humbleness. You don't hear that word much anymore, it seems. Or the necessity of talking about the practice of true religion and virtue. And true religion in the name of Jesus Christ. It wouldn't be that way if we did not have Moses holding the Ten Commandments inscribed upon the doors of, I believe, Congress. Isn't that true, Dennis? Your Supreme Court? Yeah, Supreme Court? Yeah. They're going to have to router that off, wouldn't they? And they tried to set it in stone what was the basis and foundation of our government and the will of the Lord. How often do we communicate with the one that created our souls? hears the petitions of His Son for us, can bless and change the course of our lives and heal our ways and our sickness? How often? It's only a question that you could ask yourself. The one that created our souls. He changes the course. You know, how great of a miracle and a blessing is it that a person changes their mind, changes the course and direction of their life from one destined to damnation to one destined to eternal life? How great of a miracle is it? It is such that Jesus told us, He said, the angels of heaven rejoice over one sinner that repenteth. It's such that He said that Jesus would leave the 99 and go search for the one that was lost. There's a God that changes the hearts and minds of the children of men. We have many examples of these. Jesus taught us the necessity of prayer and paid for our access to forgiveness. There's a scripture I'd like to read out of the book of Matthew in the 6th chapter. We talk about the necessity of prayer. Many say they believe. Many say they believe, and they also believe in prayer. The book of James say that the devils also believe, and they tremble. What is the difference? What is the difference in our faith? But Jesus is always, He's commanded us to pray. To pray unto the Father and pray in His name. He paid for that access. He paid for that access. Let us use it freely. For He says, let us come boldly unto the throne of grace. When thou prayest, thou shalt not be as the hypocrites are, for they love to pray standing in the synagogues and in the corners of the streets, that they may be seen of men. Verily I say unto you, they have their reward. But thou, when thou prayest, enter into thy closet. When thou hast shut thy door, pray unto thy Father which is in secret. And thy Father which seeth in secret shall reward thee openly. Now He talks about a closet, talks about shutting the door. You have your own special place. He wants you to take a look for your own special place, maybe. Something may be familiar for you. Make a regular habit of it. He doesn't want to wait till we're just in particular perilous conditions in order to remember Him. Remember Him in thanksgiving, and joy, conversation. We say He's closer than the shadow of our turning. Talk to Him. When you pray, use not vain repetitions as the heathen do, for they think that they shall be heard for their much speaking. Be not ye therefore like unto them, for your Father knoweth what things ye have need of before ye ask Him. He knows your thoughts. He knows your intentions. He wants to. He observes your actions. He wants to hear them. He wants to hear the designs of your heart and your thoughts. Doesn't mean you need to speak in the archaic form of the King James Version of the Bible in order for Him to hear you. Oh, you could use some very exalted language if you wish. But tell Him what's on your heart. Tell Him what's on your mind. Your Father knoweth which things ye have need of before ye ask Him. After this manner, therefore, pray ye, Our Father which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Amen. I believe that you need to use this prayer every time. He talks about a sample prayer. He gives us, I believe, suggestions in order to use within praying. Pray for forgiveness. Pray for yourself to be forgiven or to forgive others. Pray that you may not be led into temptation. Pray for protection upon your home, your family, your loved ones, your church. There are many reasons. Please turn with me over in the book of John in the 16th chapter. I'd like to read verses 23 and 24. In the day ye shall ask me nothing. Verily, verily, I say unto you, whatsoever ye shall ask the Father in my name, he will give it you. Hereto have ye asked nothing in my name. Ask, and ye shall receive, that your joy may be full. He's talking about a time that he will not be with them. But in the name of Jesus, because he did pay that price, and it is that which gives you access to the Father. In the name of Jesus, he being our advocate. In the name of Jesus Christ. Ephesians in the 4th chapter, the 32nd verse. As he was talking about forgiving, asking forgiveness, forgiving one another. He tells us, be ye kind one to another, tenderhearted and forgiving one another. Why? Even as God for Christ's sake has forgiven you. For his sake, he's forgiven you. Over into the 5th chapter in the verse 1 and 2. Be ye therefore followers of God as dear children, and walk in love, as Christ also hath loved us, and hath given himself for us an offering and a sacrifice to God for a sweet-smelling savor. That was the price that was paid, the offering for sin, the offering for access, the offer for redemption, the offer for eternal salvation, for mercy, for grace. I'd like to turn, there was a neat couple of verses. So I'd like to take out Romans in the 8th chapter. Please turn us back to Romans in the 8th chapter. And this one sticks in my mind. In the 8th chapter, talking about the Holy Spirit. That I believe we even have help in prayer. Likewise, the Spirit also helpeth our infirmities, for we know not what we should pray for as we ought, but the Spirit itself maketh intercession for us with groanings which cannot be uttered. And he that searcheth the hearts knoweth what is the mind of the Spirit, because he maketh intercession for the saints according to the will of God. God, and through his precious Holy Spirit, basically delivering our prayers and helping us translate those things. They're the desires of our hearts, and even formulating words and desires that are within us. It is that Holy Spirit that helps, I believe, in our prayers. It helpeth our infirmities. We know what we depend upon Him to help in our prayers. And I believe as is said that the Son is set down on the right hand of the Father. He said, to claim his rights of mercy. Hear the prayers of my children, Father. For they are yours, and I paid for them. Hear their prayers. There's an interesting one that was also brought to me. Luke 22. Look over in Luke 22. I believe that Jesus discerned the weakness in Peter. And we know that Peter was, as it just says a little further on down here, was going to deny him 3 times. And Jesus would, Peter would charge around head and say, we will go to the death with you. And basically, Jesus is telling him, you don't know what you're asking. You don't know what you're talking about. Don't go beyond what you understand. Verse 31. Behold, Simon, Simon, behold, Satan hath desired to have you, that he may sift you as wheat. But I have prayed for thee, that thy faith fail not. When thou art converted, strengthen thy brethren. Be converted when he'd witness the sufferings of Christ, witness his death and resurrection. And the day of Pentecost would come, they would receive the fullness of the Holy Spirit to be fully converted. Strengthen your brethren when you're fully converted. I also go over to verse 39 through 46. And we see an example of also of this powerful prayer that Jesus expressing his humanity. And they said, Lord, behold, He came out and he went as he went to the Mount of Olives, and his disciples also followed him. And when he was at the place, he said unto them, pray that ye enter not into temptation. As he was withdrawn from them but a stone's cast, he kneeled down and prayed, saying, Father, if thou wert willing, remove this cup from me. Nevertheless, not my will, but thine be done. I think we have to find an expression of humanity where he knew what had to be done. He knew what was going to come. Jesus knew what was going to come. He knew the express purpose that he was there. He knew that the price that needed to be paid, a horrible and a high price, the sufferings that he would have to go through. But you know, he said, Father, not my will, but thine be done. Do we also pray that way? You know, we know what we ask for. We know what we would like to see come to pass in our prayers. But we have to say, Lord, not my will, but thine be done. That which fits into your plan and your purposes, you know what is best for me. You know what is best for my life. You know what is best for what I'm asking. And there appeared an angel unto him from heaven, strengthening him. I believe the scripture also declares that there are angels that minister unto us. The angel Lord campeth round about them that fear him and delivereth them. And being in agony, he prayed more earnestly, and his sweat as were drops of blood falling down to the ground. And when he rose up from prayer, he was come to his disciples, and he found them sleeping for sorrow. And said unto them, why sleep ye? Arise and pray, lest ye enter into temptation. You know, it kind of gives us a little charge, if you will. There are times when our life, we think, goes on a little bit on cruise control, and we've got a tendency to forget, or to get a little lax in our ways, or our line of sight to the Lord gets a little blurry. And the Lord charges us. Why sleep you? Rise and pray, lest you enter into temptation. The evil one likes to come upon those that are weak, and to offer temptations that are maybe beyond their strength. He tells us to resist. Pray that you enter not into temptation. Please turn with me over into Philippians in the 4th chapter. He says, be careful for nothing, but in everything, by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God. And the peace of God, which passeth all understanding, shall keep your hearts and your minds through Christ Jesus. And all we're talking about here, he's talking about the necessity to prayer and the consecration to prayer in your life and the prayerful attitude. And the attitude that we need for prayer. We're going to talk about that in just a moment. Please turn with me in 1 John 5:13. He tells us that He would give us confidence. That He hears our prayers. I believe that there is that Spirit, His Holy Spirit, that also gives us the knowledge that He hears our prayers and the joy that we can feel from knowing that. These things have I written unto you that believe on the name of the Son of God, that you may know that you have eternal life and that you may believe on the name of the Son of God. Yes, I believe that we can have assurance of eternal life. You don't want worldly fear about your eternal salvation. I believe that He gives us, this is perfect love casts out fear. And this is the confidence that we have in Him, that if we ask anything according to His will, He heareth us. And we know that He hears us whatsoever we ask. We know that we have the petitions that we desired of Him. I believe that we can know and have that peace and assurance that He has heard our prayers. The confidence that we have in Him, if we ask anything according to His will, He heareth us. I think He hears us no matter what. It's a way of putting it here, that there's just that we don't receive everything because He knows that it's not the best for with it in His will and direction for your life. Our faith and humble attitude is important. Let's take a look at James 1, and you've read this scripture before, I'm sure. James 1, 6 through 8. We've heard this one many, many times. Actually, I'm going to go back to 5. If any of you lack wisdom, let him ask of God, that giveth to all men liberally, and abradeth not, and it shall be given him. But let him ask in faith. Here we see a little something to it. Let him ask in faith, nothing wavering. For he that wavereth is like the wave of the sea, driven with wind and tossed. For let not that man think that he shall receive anything of the Lord. A double-minded man is unstable in all of his ways. Let him ask in faith. But he will give to all men liberally. And it shall be given him. So you see how important it is, the attitude, the humble, penitent attitude that we're in prayer. Our devotion. Oh, I've got a title for you here, and you think, what in the world is Adam talking about? Spiritual logs in the road. Our past storm that just came by, I saw to take and tell you a little bit about that. There are probably scenes that you saw, maybe scene that you come up on while you're driving, and a big tree comes along the road, right in front of you. You're not going any further, are you? You're not progressing on your journey. And I call it spiritual logs in the road. We look at our prayers and how they progress or don't. And what can get in the way of them? What can get in the way of our prayers? And we just received a little information here in James, didn't we? Let not that person think that he's going to receive anything. What? Because he's double-minded. Not prayerful, not humble, not penitent. Turn it over to, or still in James, to James 3, 9 through 18. And here he's talking about the power of the tongue. Therewith bless we God, even the Father, and therewith curse we men, which are made after the similitude of God. We've got to be careful. Out of the same mouth proceedeth blessing and cursing. My brethren, these things not ought so to be. Doth the fountain send forth at the same place sweet water and bitter? We've read this before for maybe other studies, haven't we? But here we are talking about prayer. Here we're talking about a spiritual log in the road. These are things that can come into a person's mind and heart that can put the log in the road to our devotion and prayer, can it? Can the fig tree, my brethren, bear olive berries, neither a vine fig? So can no fountain both yield salt water and fresh. Who is a wise man and endued with knowledge, send him among you. Let him show out of good conversation his works with meekness of wisdom. If ye have bitter envying and strife in your hearts, glory not and lie not against the truth. Bitter envying and strife. We may have maybe felt these things, haven't we, in our life? Were they spiritual? Were they working the righteousness of God? Were they allowing you to pray in love and devotion? They weren't, were they? This wisdom descendeth not from above, but is earthly, sensual, and devilish. For where every envying and strife is, there's confusion and every evil work. There's a passage in the Book of Mormon that says that it's the evil spirit that teaches us not to pray. It's the evil spirit that teaches us not to pray. But the wisdom that is from above is first pure, and then peaceable, gentle, and easy to be entreated, full of mercy and good fruits, without partiality and without hypocrisy. And the fruit of righteousness is sown in peace of them that make peace. So we find the way to quench that other spirit in Jesus Christ, to put these things out of our life, that we may clear the brush away from the road, that we may offer unto the Lord the sweet savor of a prayer from your heart, from a clear conscience. 1 Peter 1, 15 through 17. 1 Peter 1. Of the same thread that we were speaking about. But he which hath called you is holy, so be ye holy in all manner of conversation, because it is written, be ye holy, for I am holy. If ye call on the Father, who without respect of persons judgeth according to every man's work, pass the time of your sojourning here in fear, or your enduring. You pass your time here in the fear of the Lord, not the fear of man. And we talk about, you know, eliminating a worldly fear. We had the example in the Book of Mormon about those people that had such a faith and had such a determination they would lay down their lives. Why people were willing to take them. They had to have had that fear just taken from them. They had to have had that divine assurance. Turn with me over on page 763, Moroni 7. Like verses 5 through 9. For God hath said, a man being evil cannot do that which is good. If he offereth a gift, or prayeth unto God, except he shall do it with real intent, it profiteth him nothing. We see a recipe here, don't we? About the type of attitude, the type of devotion and love, type of humble, penitent nature that a person should have. We want our prayers to be a profit, don't we? He tells us this. It is not counted unto him for righteousness. For behold, if a man being evil giveth a gift, he doeth it grudgingly. Or if it is counted to him the same as that he had retained the gift. Or if it is counted him evil before God. When we give gifts, think about that. Think about the loving, heartfelt nature. That you know you give something. Not that you would get something in return. Likewise is counted unto evil man if he shall pray, and not with real intent of heart. Yea, it profiteth him nothing, for God receiveth none such. Wherefore, a man being evil cannot do that which is good, neither will he give a good gift. Behold, a bitter fountain cannot bring forth good water, neither can a good fountain bring forth bitter water. We read about that in James. Or if a man being a servant of the devil cannot follow Christ, and if he follow Christ, he cannot be a servant of the devil. Real intent. Faith believing. The evidence of our prayers. We have heard this one many times. Please turn with me over to James 5. And we'll be coming back to your Book of Mormon. Also back in that area here very soon. James 5:13. We find this that we practice in Christ's church. Is there any sick among you? Actually, let's go back to 13. Is any among you afflicted? Let him pray. Is any merry? Let him sing songs, psalms. You know, I was reading through some of the psalms, and they're rather prayers. They're all devotions. All of them set to music. I believe all of them were set to music within the temple. There were an orchestra even set up. I believe that it could very well have been that hymn that they sang at the Last Supper before they went out to the Mount of Olives. Could have very well been some of the Psalms. Is any sick among you? Let him call for the elders of the church. This is for those that may be listening maybe not have understanding, the elder of the church is not the elderly within the church, but it is a called ministry of the Lord to be an elder. Paul says, I am an elder and also an apostle, and they ordained elders in every city. I think it's against common sense that they would go into every city and ordain all of the elderly people in that city. Doesn't make any sense. It is a called minister of the Lord. It is a title. It is a labor of love. Let them pray over him, anointing him with oil in the name of the Lord. And the prayer of faith shall save the sick, and the Lord shall raise him up. And if he hath committed sins, they shall be forgiven him. This is an avenue and power in prayer, and a consecration unto healing. And to forgiveness of sins, it is said. Confess your faults one to another and pray one for another that you may be healed. Pray for one another that you may be healed. The effectual fervent prayer of a righteous man availeth much. Elias was a man subject to like passions as we are. He prayed earnestly that it may not rain. I believe this is talking about Elijah, but it's referred to as Elias a couple of places. And it rained not for the earth for the space of 3 years and 6 months. And he prayed again, and the heaven gave rain, and the earth brought forth her fruit. Brethren, if any of you do err from the truth, and one convert him, let him know that he which converteth the sinner from the error of his way shall save a soul from death and shall hide a multitude of sins. We see the power even in praying for other people and helping and to seek for that other that has strayed. To pray for them, and it says it will even help to hide many of your sins. I believe that's what he's talking about here. I have one other reference, and this is over in page 651 in the Book of Mormon on 3 Nephi 8:47, page 651. The words of Jesus, specifically charging the people, telling them, you know, he also recognized that other power that's out there, that is the opposition to the way of righteousness. He tried to tell the people, look, you know, to be watchful unto prayer, and that you may not be led away captive by the wiles of this other. Personage and this other evil spirit, the devil himself, and he is very, very real, and he does walk around yet today, and he's going to be roaring as a lion. He's trying to seek whom he may devour. Pray against that. There are principalities and powers in high places, as he says. Verily, verily, I say unto you, you must watch and pray always, lest ye be tempted by the devil, and ye are led away captive by him. And as I have prayed among you, even so ye pray in my church, all my people who do repent and are baptized in my name. I am the light. I have set an example for you, And it came to pass that when Jesus had spoken these words unto his disciples, he turned again unto the multitude, and he said unto them, Behold, verily, verily, I say unto you, ye must watch and pray always, lest ye enter into temptation. For Satan desires to have you, that he may sift you as wheat. Now Jesus told the same thing to Peter, didn't he? Peter was probably getting carried away in a little bit of pride in his zealousness for the Lord. But I don't think he didn't know what he was asking. He didn't know what he was talking about. And I think Jesus had to set him back a little bit. So I've prayed for you. I know we've had many lessons on pride. Our pride can get away from us. And you know, and that seems to be one of the devil's tools, our prideful nature. Satan desired to have you, they may sift you as wheat. Therefore you must always pray unto the Father in my name. Jesus Christ, in the name of Jesus. I believe Jesus was his given name. Christ was his title. The Christ child. Where is the Christ child? The Messiah. The one to come save his people. I don't believe it is that it is like his last name, such as I'm a Porter, or there's a Ritzma, or there's a Lussenden. But his title. He was the Christ child. Jesus the Christ. You'll pray unto the Father in my name, and whatsoever you shall ask the Father in my name, which is right, believing that you shall receive, behold, it shall be given unto you. Pray in your families unto the Father, always in my name, that your wives and your children may be blessed. Behold, you shall meet together off. You shall not forbid any man from coming unto you. And when you shall meet together, but suffer them, they may come unto you. And forbid them not, but you shall pray for them. And shall not cast them out. If it so be, they may come unto you oft. You shall pray for them unto the Father in my name. Wherefore, hold up your light, that it may shine unto the world. And behold, I am the light which ye shall hold up, that which ye have seen me do. And he taught them. He pointed them to the way of the Father in His own name. The importance of prayer, the consecration in our life to prayer. We must be given and disposed to prayer at a given time. And it is the prayers of the saints that are precious before the Lord, and precious before the throne, and are advocated within the heavens before the Father. I thank you for your time, for your love, and for your prayers. Sister?